We're going to continue the series that I've been preaching, The Witch of Endor. Out of 1 Samuel chapter, what chapter am I looking for? I've almost forgot. 28, right? 28, 4 through 20. So, and we don't have to turn there. You can read it later because we've read this a lot. This is the last Sunday I'm on this, and I'm kind of thankful because this is just, this has been crazy. I'm enjoying it. Can I tell you something? That I've studied more for this sermon than I can say in a long time of a lot of sermons, because I've done a lot of personal studies that I'm not even going to get into. Because this right here, when you study this and you get into the subject of witchcraft, satanic, it just makes your brain. I've had several times where I walked into a net office and I sat down and I'm like, I'm done studying for the day. And she's like, oh yeah. I'm like, yes, because if I studied any more, I feel like my head would explode. Because there's some stuff that's just crazy out there, and we don't talk about it a whole lot. We don't deal with it a whole lot. And can I say this? You know, when we talk about witchcraft, you know, the Bible, it can be out there where, you know, we have a lot of Wiccan churches. Do they call them churches? I don't even know. I don't really have friends that are Wiccans. I've met a couple. But I don't know. Do they call it church, temples? I don't know what they call it. I don't even know. Do they have buildings? I have no idea. They do have buildings. Okay. So they get all together. And I just want to say very clearly that, you know, it witchcraft, yes, it goes to that. But also the Bible says that manipulation is witchcraft.
Right.
Oh, hello, somebody. If you're in a relationship, and it doesn't matter, wife, it doesn't matter, husband, it doesn't matter if you're in business, whatever it is. If you use manipulation to try to get what you want out of it, the Bible calls it witchcraft and calls it wrong.
Yes, yes, yes.
So and that goes for husbands that, you know, are just trying to, you know, make something happen. And I'm not just talking. Don't even go there. I'm talking about getting a response out. Well, you know, so-and-so's wife does this. Well, you know, so-and-so's husband doesn't act like you either. You know, because that could go both ways. You don't even want to do that. And then there is this whole side that is out there where a dude will do nothing but trash a woman. Try to break her spirit. No one would ever take you. No, get them so emotionally to a point where they break, and they're it's weird. Have you ever, I forgot what syndrome it is. Somebody can help me here. Say it again.
Stockholm
syndrome. It's where somebody is kidnapped, but then all of a sudden starts to relate to their kidnapper and wants to stay with them. Mm-hmm. It's breaking them down. It is manipulation. It is evil. It is witchcraft. And that goes for the husband. It also goes for the wife. If you're using manipulation to try to get what you want out of your husband or your kids, hello. Witchcraft.
Yes.
Now, good news, bribery is not witchcraft. And kids are much cheaper to bribe, because all you need is a pack of Skittles, than a wife, because sometimes that takes diamonds. All right. And so anyway, we have King Saul here. He basically loses his relationship with the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, he lost it. He lost his relationship with the Lord. You know what happened? This did not happen overnight to the king. Do you know what happened to the king? He began to depend on everyone else for everything. He began to depend on his generals for advice in war. He began to depend on David for that. But not only that, he depended on David that when he was just, you know, mentally going crazy, mentally just, he was being afflicted by evil spirits. He depended upon someone who did have a relationship with God to come in the room and play. And then the Spirit of God would fill the room, and evil demonic forces couldn't handle it, and they left. Do you know, you better be thankful you're in this church, because there's such thing as overflow. When your neighbor, this is what you don't understand. When you praise God and you're free and you begin to press into the things of God, your neighbor can have stuff that's irritating them. Leave them. Simply because they're in the room with a believer. You create an atmosphere that causes the devil that can't stand it. If we could see in the supernatural, we'd see a lot of angels in here.
Yes, we would.
Yeah, and when people first walk in, you would also see evil spirits.
Yes.
And you know what? When you start to worship, this is true. I've heard this statement that when a believer begins to speak, every devil in hell stops.
Yes.
What are they about to say next? What are they about to say next? Because you have authority.
Yes. Yes.
Remember, we read last week where the disciples were so amazed. They said, even the devils are subject to us in your name.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, yeah, that's true, but that's not what we rejoice over. That's like small stuff. The big stuff is the reason, because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, that you have your salvation. You're on your way to heaven. And if we want to rejoice, that's what we rejoice about, not the authority that we have over the demonic forces. That's nothing. And he even tells us later in the Bible that the enemy will be pulled out. Satan will be pulled out before the nations, and nations will look. Do you know, and I've heard ministers say this is symbolic. I think, no, this is not symbolic. This is what will happen. The nations of the world will literally see. It's after the 1,000-year reign. Okay, but anyway, we won't get into that because that's a whole nother sermon. And so in all of this, the devil will be displayed before all mankind, and the world will say, this is what caused us to tremble. This is what gave us problems. And so the enemy's defeated. This is small. And we don't have to focus all the time. See, there's something that's happened in the church where we have focused and we almost gave too much power over. We've all got afraid. Have you ever seen a cop that was afraid? Really? I can't say I've really seen one. I'm glad somebody else has. But have, you know, if you watch Cops, you never see like, okay, buddy, I would really like you to quit right now. And maybe get, you know, his handcuffs out and throw them over. Hey, could you put those on for me? Yeah, they go both over to the wrist. Little tighter now. A little, no, you could still slip out. A little harder, come on. No, that's not the way a cop does. Now, this is what's wonderful. A cop does not work in his own ability. Somebody may be able to take him out, but he stands in authority. That if you mess with him, you got a whole lot of other people. You got something that is stronger than him that's going to back him up. We have authority in Jesus. Physically, the enemy may be able to tear us to pieces, but they have no right to touch us.
Right.
And unlike cops, where somebody might not obey the authority, the enemy is frozen when you stand in your authority. That's good stuff.
Amen.
So Saul was crazy, or I don't understand. You know, he began to rely on everybody else. He relied on Samuel for direction from God. He was the prophet, and so the king depended upon the prophet because the king wasn't hearing from God anymore. The king didn't worship God anymore. At one time, he heard from the Lord, but it came to a point where he didn't hear from the Lord, and it didn't happen overnight. He just slowly began to depend upon other people for everything, and so he didn't need to have to seek the face of God anymore. He didn't have to worship anymore because he had people that would worship and he would fill the overflow. And you know, sadly, I think this is one of the problems that a lot of pastors' kids have. They grow up in an environment, you know, you've heard all the stories about PK kids. And they grow up in an environment where the Spirit of God reigns freely and they see the power of God. They see healing. They see all kinds of things. And they rely on the heritage of their parents and their grandparents, and they just rely on that. And then when they get out in their own, they can't stand because they have no relationship with God. You have to be concerned about your own relationship with the Lord, or over time, you will end up just like King Saul. And Saul, he also got to a place where he would justify sin because of the end means. He went to a witch of Endor because he couldn't. He's relying on people. I've had people ask me even during the sermon, how could he justify that in his brain? Well, he's so used to counting on someone else to connect to him to God. So he decided, well, this person, this witch, is supposed to be able to conjure up dead spirits, people that have died. So I will go to her to get a hold of Samuel. So I'm not going to really just mess with the evil spirit. I just need the evil spirit to connect me with the Spirit of God. So I will justify what God has called evil, and God has called dealing with future tellers, all the psychics and all that. God has called it evil. He says it is an abomination. He doesn't call, oh, y'all got quiet on me. He doesn't just call it evil. He says, it is an abomination to me. And so Saul says, I will go to the abomination because I'm not going to use the abomination. I need to get over here to God, but that will be my connector. You can't justify the end by the means. You've got to follow the Word of God from point A to point B to point C and continue into Z. And if you make it all the way to Z, there'll be AA and BAB. And you keep going until you get AAA. And it will just keep on process. And God has every connection you need. And God's plan, you might look around. God's never late, people. He's never late. You might look around and be like, I don't understand. And you know what happened to people who missed Jesus when he appeared? Is because he didn't show up in the way they expected it. Let's learn from that lesson and know that God can move in any way, shape, or form. And even if we've experienced something that devastates us, to understand that God is not done moving and working in this. It did not happen the way I thought it would, but I'm thankful that my God never leaves me. He never forsakes me, and he has never failed me, and today is not the day that he starts. Let's turn to Isaiah 14, chapter 12. So this is going to be my last sermon on this. But it's fine. It's fine. I'm ready to move on, honestly. And can I say this too? I'm going to say some things today that some of you may have never heard of. Does that happen on a regular basis? Is that why you're laughing? I'm here like, people are chuckling. I'm here like, why are y'all laughing? But I mean, you probably never heard of this stuff, some of this stuff. And some of you may have. And some of you, when you first hear this, may think, Pastor has lost it. But that's perfectly fine. This is what I love. You know, people, church people are weird. And, you know, we're peculiar. We're peculiar, but we're not weird like some church people. You know, some church people, they disagree on a subject and they can never show up to church again. You know, Pastor, a church, this is ridiculous. It wouldn't be funny if it wasn't true. But there was a church that split because they got over an argument if Adam had a belly button.
Wow.
Because Adam was created. So one side of the church said, of course he didn't have a belly button. It comes from the umbilical cord. And the other side said, well, we are created in the image of God. So everything that we have, God has as well. If we have a belly button, so God has a belly button. So if God reached down just like the Pillsbury Doughboy, woohoo, and gave Adam a belly button. And so the church got so heated that it split. And I guess they left and started the first church of the Assemblies of, you know, God and the goodness of Jesus of the belly button of Adam church. I don't know. But what I love about this church is we disagree on a lot of things. We disagree on, you know, political. We disagree in, y'all don't have to be so obvious about it. We disagree on doctrine. We disagree on certain doctrines of the Word of God. But when it comes down to salvation, we're pretty much solid on. And that's perfectly fine. There are people in this church that disagree whether we are post-trib, mid-trib, or pre-trib. I put that in the backwards order. Pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. No, I still got it wrong. But they are those three. One says we'll go before the Antichrist comes, which I tend to lean toward. And then there's some that says we'll go in the middle. And then there's some that says we'll go at the end. Oh, and there's a new one I've heard of lately. Are you ready for this one? Those that are actually looking to go before will go before. And those that are not looking will stay. Glad I believe. I'm going before. I'm excited. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, and before it's over, I'm sure there probably will be another one, some theory that comes out. But, you know, I kind of lean toward the side that we can get to our own understanding of what we believe is going to happen. But I'm somewhat lean toward this. There are some things we just don't need to figure out. And that's fine with me. But we do need to be looking. The Bible says that we should be looking for the second come of Jesus Christ and that the times will tell us. Now, no man can know the day of, and I have a good friend of mine who disagrees with me on that. He believes you can know the day. I did tell him when he comes out with, you know, 22 reasons why Jesus is coming in 2022, I'm not buying the book. Some of you don't even know where that reference came from. And so in all of this, it's good to be able to disagree and come to church. Do you notice the reason church splits most of the time are over stuff that doesn't even matter? Right. Who cares if Adam had a belly button? When we get to heaven, just ask him to throw his robe up. Like, I need to see under your robe, sir. You better be wearing proper heaven attire. And so we'll see if he has a belly button or not. But that doesn't even matter. So we're going to be turning. Y'all found Isaiah 14?
Yes.
Isaiah 14 and 12. It says, how art thou? I love when we start anything off with that. I think we should start more stuff off that way. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which thou didst weaken the nations? Now, when people allow evil into high places in governments, the enemy has the ability to weaken nations. It has the ability to destroy nations. When people get into it, and we've seen governments fall, and can I tell you something else? We're going to see a lot more governments fall. It's just going to happen. When evil gets to the top, I mean, where was it? Was it, I'm trying to think of the nation in Africa that their money, the kids used it to, like, building blocks. They would get humongous stacks of dollars. Was that... I'm trying to remember what nation that was. But basically, the heads became so focused on their own profit. And, you know, there's a lot more to play into it. But started printing money, just massively printing money with nothing back in it. You know what happens to the money? It has no value. And so then, instead of a couple dollars to buy bread, it comes up to $1,000 to buy bread, and then it came up to $50,000 to buy bread. And so all of a sudden, they just keep printing more money, releasing it without anything backing it. And then you get kids, you start your fires with, it's cheaper to start it with money than it is with regular paper. And so all of a sudden, you know, that happens. And when evil gets into nations, it will weaken nations. It will weaken them militarily. It will weaken them in directions. It will weaken their money. If the dollar turns in any way, shape, or form, you don't have to. It could or could not be. I'm not saying that America, I think a lot of people went to our nation immediately. Our nation's blessed. And as long as you are in this nation, it will continue to be blessed. We have a just huge population of Christians. And there are prayers that go up before this nation. And I'm not saying we're not going to feel anything, but as we continue to seek the face of God, as we continue to pray before elections, as we continue to ask God's direction, we will continue to be a nation that seeks first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything we have need of will be added unto us. And the reason that evil gets into high places in the government is because Christians allow it to happen. I could preach. We should have a message right before the elections. It would be fun. Maybe for me. All right. Now I want to point something out. We talked about witchcraft being the power behind it is a demonic forces. Now, I do want to say this. Most witches, when it comes to Wiccan and all that, do not even recognize Satan. They don't even recognize Satan. They don't even recognize God, the creator. What they do recognize is nature. Nature. They pray to nature. They even go back. You can research some of this, and it even goes back to some of the Egyptians, where Ra, the god of the sun, and all this kind of stuff. And they try to get into the mystical part of it, even though they don't realize that they would deny that the backers of what they're serving is demonic. And then even in witchcraft, you can normally, now, I mean, you can break it down into many categories, but it's very common that there is a white magic and a black magic, and that's, they categorize themselves, and the ones that try to operate in white magic said, we are in it for humanity, we want to bless crops, and we want to, you know, the sun and the rain gives your mother, the mother earth, and that gives everything, and due season and time, and then you go to the black magic, which is black magic woman, she's in it. Oh, sorry. I mean, they're in it for a different reason. They want to bring curses. You're my enemy. I am going to curse you. And they even will hire out blessings and curses. Could you imagine if I got into that? Be like, oh, you want a blessing? That'll cost you $50. And then I come over with some prayer. I think that's actually been done in Christianity before. So let's not get into that. All right, I want you to find the book of Jude. We're going to go to Jude. Hey, Jude. Since I'm doing song references this morning. That comes from the Beatles. Very good.
The Beatles.
All right. And so we're going to look at this, and we're going to come to a conclusion. And, you know, I thought this was very good. I think we're going to do this. I had another sermon series that I planned on after, but I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Since we talked about demonic forces so much, I think we should follow this up with angels, don't you?
Yes.
I think that would be a wise decision to do. Because, look, I don't like, and I don't want any person in the church to focus on demonic spirits.
Right.
One, because when you understand your authority, they are nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. They can't do anything. And if they manifested in front of you on the way out, it would be something that you could laugh off and command to get out. I remember I heard this one time. Somebody told me they went to a fast food place and they said, "Pastor, I felt an evil spirit." And I said, "What did you do?" They said, "I left and I went to another fast food restaurant." That's the last thing you should do. If you feel an evil spirit, you can command them to leave. I remember a missionary who said that they don't call them witch doctors down in South America. I forget what they call them. But basically, when a minister went in there, he couldn't start his fire underneath his pot. And so the witch doctor came and said he was going to kill the minister because one of the spirits told him that it was the minister's fault he couldn't get his fire started. And then if he would kill him, then he would be able to start his fire. And so he went to kill him and got saved. I love how it works. And then the whole town came over because they realized that that evil spirit did not have, those who can conjure up demons did not have the ability to override and overthrow the power of God. You would think we would have learned that by reading the Bible. It wasn't God cast out of heaven. It was Satan that was cast out of heaven. So that lets me know that God already won. And we shouldn't be afraid of evil spirits. Nor should we be afraid of dates. Halloween is the devil's birthday. That is ignorance gone to seed. First of all, when the angels were created, heaven or earth was not here yet. There was no 24-hour period, so that means there was no October 31st. But you mean the devil wasn't born on Halloween? No. No, he was not. All right, y'all found Jude? Let's go to verse 6. Now, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to bring up a point that you may or may not disagree with. And what is that? Perfectly fine. And the angels which kept not their first estate. Where was their first estate? Heaven. And left their own habitat, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Question. He hath reserved. What tense is that? Past tense. God has already done this. What has he done? He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, some theologians will go back and forth on where this darkness is. Some of them believe it is in hell. Some of them believe it is under the earth. And some of them believe that it is a compartment of hell specially kept for the angels that have fallen. So two things I want you to get from this. Also, if you believe that hell at this very point is fire, you're wrong. And I got scripture to back that one up. That's not question. That's scripture. It says that there is a pit. The pit where they are cast out to will be thrown into the lake of fire. Revelations. So that tells us that hell, this pit, this area is darkness. It is not flame. Now, is there torment? I'm pretty sure there is. They're also in chains. They're chained up. And so that area will be thrown on the judgment day, after judgment day, after people, heaven, hell, you know, when we get there, then that place will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's biblical. Okay. Are y'all all still with me? Because it really got quiet. So who is in everlasting chains? They have already fallen. They are in chains. Question, if you are in chains, are you free to go wherever you want? That's interesting, isn't it? All right, let's keep reading. Let's go to 2 Peter 2 and 4. We're going to bring something up. So, first of all, they left their estate. Now, their estate, yes, is a physical location, but it's also their position. They left their position of power and their rule. Somebody asked this question. I think this is a great question to ask. Somebody asked the question, why? How could angels ever fall? They were created by God. How could angels ever choose Satan over God? That's a good question. Whose creation are we?
Exactly.
And there are people to this day that would you, but then I had this, after I made that statement, they said, but pastor, these angels were in the very presence of God and took commands all the time. Well, we actually don't know a whole lot. We don't know how long angels were here before their fall. We have no idea. How long, you know, was it in earth years? Was it 50 years? Was it 1,000 years? Was it 1,000,000 years? Was it beyond, you know, how long was it? We have no record of. And that's perfectly fine. We don't need record of it. And can I go, you want to get tripped out a little bit? Let's just go ahead and take a ride. Who says, okay, how many creations has, as far as, we'll call them races, not... Get your mind off of color. How many races of beings has God created?
That's right.
How many? What would the average church person probably say? Anyone? Most would say two, angels and humanity. But who says that there's only two? There's two that we have record of. Not if you really search hard enough. But, who says we're there? And this is what I love also. Who says God's going to stop when we're done? He didn't stop with the angels. Who said, I'm not saying he is. I'm not saying he's not. You know what? He's God. He can do whatever he wants, and he doesn't have to check with me or you to find out what we approve of and what we don't approve of. Be like, Lord, we would like you to stop with. But isn't that like humanity? We're the last one. We're the center of the universe, and it's all about people. Okay. All right. So have you found 2 Peter 2 and 4? Peter 2 and 4 says this. For if God spared not the angels that what?
Sin,
but cast them down to hell. Now. We've already talked about hell, right? This word for hell is only used this one time. There's two words mainly used for hell in the Bible. Well, three, but two main ones. And this one is only used one time right here. And we'll get into that in just a second. And delivered them into chains of the darkness. We're talking about chains again. Now, I want to point out more than one thing here. It says what? He spared not the angels that what?
Sin.
Do you realize here it doesn't tell us what sin? It's interesting. It doesn't tell us if it was their sin of choosing Satan over God or if there was a sin later on that they've committed. It does not make that clear. Now, I do want to say this too. Go back to why would the angels choose Satan over God? First of all, Lucifer... or the devil was the top angel. It even says he was the anointed of the cherubim. Cherubim is your top. Those are the ones that are in the throne room of God 24/7. That's their job. They're with the Lord in the holies of holies. Now it says that the morning sun, the star, was the anointed of the cherubim. Cream of the crop. It also tells us in the Bible, and you could do your research or listen to the sermons that we preached afterwards, it said that God created the earth and all the sapphire, all the gold, all the amazing things that God created in this earth, he gave it to Satan. Well, he wasn't Satan at the time. He was Lucifer. And somebody's pointed out to me, which I have not studied very hard much yet, so I hadn't got into detail, that somebody made the statement that Lucifer was not the proper name. And I haven't gone back to research, because Lucifer's only mentioned one time in the entire Bible. And so I haven't gone back, but I'm just going to call him Lucifer. And so if you don't believe that's his name, that's okay. I'm going, there's people that I don't know their name. I call them Watcher McCullers and, you know... whoever, that dude over there, Bubba, so I'm just going to call him Lucifer because this was before the fall. So when I refer to him as Lucifer, we're going to talk about before the sin. Now, Lucifer was the head of the angels. So the other angels got their command from Lucifer. So some of these angels didn't step into the throne room of God or the presence of the Lord. And all they knew for however long it was Satan. Excuse me, Lucifer. So they made the decision out of connection and knowing and seeing the power. You know, Lucifer's pretty powerful. Actually, God gave him everything. This whole earth is his. All the goodness in this earth belongs to him. And so once you see that, and we're talking how God only knows how long this took place. My imagination is a long period of time that they have a connection. And maybe... just like Saul, they didn't have a relationship with God. They became carnal. And it was easy for them to make that decision. I stand with you, Lucifer. I've seen you. Where is God? What has God done for me? He's done nothing. I haven't seen his hand. He hasn't answered my prayer like I thought he should. He hasn't showed up on this earth. You know, I don't know. I'm just, you know, that's my own mentality of maybe what went through their mind. I stand with you, Lucifer. I've seen your power. This is all yours. We can do this. You're a great leader. Better be careful when you can stand in your own powers of what you have done. Because before pride comes up, Lucifer was not even above that. Because in pride came his fall. Okay. And so we don't even know what sin this was. And there's a big debate on what this sin was. And we could go all the way back to the Nephilim. If you don't even know what a Nephilim is, you don't know what a Nephilim is. But it could go all the way back to that. It could go back to the fall. But whenever it was, they were cast into the pit and they are chained. If they are in the darkness, in the pit, wherever it is, whether under the earth or whether somewhere else, are they reigning free in this earth today? That's my conclusion as well. So then, if angels are bound up and they are not moving, now Lucifer, we do have record of, is on this earth. As far as we know, he is the only fallen angel that we have record of on this earth. He's had conversations with God. Now get this also, this is why I always love, the devil's after me. He's not omniscient, people. He's not everywhere. He's not doing all these things. He's not everywhere. The chances are, is a demonic force. Has nothing to do. I don't even believe Satan's in America. I don't even think he can handle America. There are too many churches and too much praise going on. He's got to be somewhere dark. You know, I imagine him as the hungover person, the drunk, you know, where they wake up, they have the dark glasses on, they have to sleep with one of those things over their eyes because the light. And if he came to America, he'd be like, I can't handle this. Somebody give me an aspirin. We got to get out of here. Be like, churches are going on. I can't even handle this. I don't believe he's here. And he can't just get here overnight. I don't know how fast he can move. We're just not. Have you thought about these things? Am I the only one that sits down and ponders these things? Would anybody else say, I've kind of thought about some of these things? Thank you for the couple people. Okay, some of you are weird like me. All right, wonderful. Okay, so the word hell here in 2 Peter 4 is the word tartaroah. Wonderful word. Tartaroah. Tartar is like meat, right? Raw meat seasoned. But that's not what it means or nor where we get that because that's French. But in this definition is that word is only used one time and it's mainly meaning darkness or pit. We only see it one time. So in Revelation 9, it tells us that the angels will be released from the pit. You don't have to turn there, but we've read it in sermons before. It says there will be an angel released from the pit. You know, when the seals are open, the horses ride through and there's one devil that one angel that will come up and his name is Destruction. He's not even here yet. That angel is not even on, that fallen angel is not even working yet. It says that an angel of God will go and open the pit and allow that angel, uno numero, one, will allow that angel. Now, some theologians believe it will be more than one angel. Fallen angel, but will allow that angel to come up. You know what that tells me? He's not allowed. At this very moment, he's not allowed to get out. So, you can come to your own conclusion. Is demons on this earth fallen angels or not? My personal opinion is it's not. It's not fallen angels. I was taught that all my life. Anyone else taught that? I was taught that. I was taught that they were fallen angels. So then the question comes, what are they? How did they get here? Where are they from? Who created them? A lot of good questions. Now, the Bible gives us some hints at this, but does not tell us directly. Can I tell you this? And, you know, you can believe that they're fallen angels. And you know what that's going to do to mine in your relationship? We will never speak again. Not true. Not at all. It's not going to harm my relationship with anybody at all. Why? And if we get to heaven and we found out that you are right, you know what that changes about everything that we've gone through this earth? Nothing. And if we get to heaven and we found out I'm right, I will rub it in your face. No, I'm just kidding. It's nothing. It's not going to change anything. It doesn't matter. Look at your neighbor and say, it doesn't change anything. But it does give you an opportunity to sit back and think and ponder. And see, now most Christians, this is a sign of a mature Christian. When we can get together, talk about things and disagree and throw up different things. Well, what about this? What about this? What about this? And cause us to think, and we can still get up, walk away. I can still believe what I believe. He can still believe what he can believe. And we can still worship beside each other in church. Amen. That's the sign of a mature Christian. You want to know what's the sign of an immature Christian? Pastor thinks that demonic forces are not fallen angels. I got to find me a new church. And when you find a new church and you go, hey, excuse me, minister, what are demons? Oh, fallen angels. Well, bless God, I can come to this church now. And do you know what happens, though? They always are going to find something they disagree with. And that urge to uproot and get out is going to be there. And you know what happens to a seed you constantly uproot and get out? It doesn't grow. Now, I want to go to Matthew 12. Get there quickly. Matthew 12. I don't even know how I'm doing on time this morning. I need to start gearing her on down. But sometimes you're moving a truck so fast you can't gear down. You just got to ram into the stop sign. Just stop when you stop. So when the airbags deploy, I'll be done. Matthew 12 and 43. Ready? Now we're talking about demons, possession, right? Demons can possess animals and people. And I've met some of those animals. Dog people, cats. I've met a couple cats. Y'all are funny. I like y'all. All right, Matthew. Now, I do believe demonic forces prefer people. But Matthew 12 and 43, are you ready? When the unclean spirit is gone out of man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finds not. This lets us know a couple things. One, when an evil spirit leaves a person, there is no rest. They're looking, it says that they go to a dry place, an uncomfortable place, a desert, a famine, and they're looking for somewhere. The Bible even tells us that they come back to the same host, but they don't come back alone. They get cast out and they say, look, I got a map. And it leads me to Sister So-and-so's home. She went to church last night. She went to the altar. And I tell you what, it was nasty. There were tears flying, arms failing, people fell down. It was horrible. I was uncomfortable the whole time. That's something people and demons have in common with the move of God. They both are uncomfortable. So you need to check last time you were in a move of God and how comfortable were you? Ah, that's awesome. And so it tells us that there is no rest. So they're looking to find rest. Now, we do have scripture, which goes back to strange things that churches don't talk about, but where Jesus came to the man that was possessed with what? The demon. But what did he say his name was? Basically, if you translate it into just common English, there's too many of us to give you a name. Our name is Legion. There's an army of us in here. And not like, armies like we see with drones and stuff flying and you see a couple guys running. No, we're talking about military back in the Roman days where legion meant a couple thousand. I think it could be up to 15 to 20,000. It could be up that high. And so he basically stated, there's too many of us in here. We're legion. And this is the demons that said, look, don't mess with us. Your time hasn't even come and you're here messing with us. You don't have legal right to mess with us at this moment. But I'll tell you what, let us go into the pigs, which I've never understood that. You want to know why? Because they ran and killed themselves anyway. And then they went to the desert. Could you imagine a whole legion being cast out at one time? But this is Bible, people. And we don't learn this stuff in children's church. We don't preach it that way on purpose. But it's stuff that we think about. I mean, to me, I always ponder about strange things in the Bible. And I like finding answers to them. And I like being a part of our church where you want to find answers to them as well. Yes. Now, have y'all, go with me to Genesis. We're going to go back to Genesis. So we know that evil spirits possess people, can possess people. Can I tell you this? Do not want you to leave here thinking, oh my God, what if one comes across my path? Sweet and bitter water cannot flow out of the same well. So if you got the Spirit of God on the inside of you, there is no such thing as someone being possessed by a devil. Can I also say this? Or a demon. We also never have any account of an angel possessing a person, fallen or non-fallen.
Yes.
Why? Because they have their own form. They have their own body. And then they can change the look as they please.
Yes.
We see that. The Satan can come as an angel of light and appear glorious. And so we never see them needing a host. So what are demons? We're getting there. We're getting there. Have you found Genesis 9 and 1? What story are we talking about here in Genesis? Anyone? Noah. We're talking about Noah. So this was a command to Noah from God. Be fruitful. Well, it says God blessed him. But this is part I want to pay attention to. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This phrase is used here. Where is this exact phrase used in the Bible? Who? Adam and Eve. This exact phrase was used to Adam and Eve. And even to the point it says, blessed. God bless Noah. You could just replace Noah there. Let's turn to Genesis. You're there. 1:28. Just flip back a little bit to the front of the Bible. 1:28. Not 1:28. Not 128. Verse 1. There is no 128. Verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 28. And it states here that God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and what? Replenish the earth. The exact same phrase to Noah. Why did God tell Noah to replenish the earth? Because all of humanity was killed, and he's saying, this earth had people in it. I want you to refresh it. If you do not multiply, the plan of God dies with you. So replenish the earth. So he told Adam and Eve, you are blessed. Replenish the earth. Theologians are split on this, that there was something here before Adam and Eve. Anybody ever hear that before? There's a theory in the Bible called the gap theory. It goes all the way back to Genesis 1:1, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit created the earth. And that word create means perfect and in whole, complete. That the earth, when it says it was created, it was earth the way it was intended. And then the gap theory believes that Satan ruled and reigned on this earth in the garden. The whole world was the Garden of Eden. And we read the Bible where it talked about Satan walked in the Garden of Eden before man. We read that scripture. So Satan was down here. The theory in the gap theory is that it was perfect. It had all its own animals. It had a race of being that was spirit just like us. That's what the gap theory states. That there was a race of beings that were here that were spirit just like us.
Yes.
We are a spirit. We have a body. We have a mind. We are a spirit. When you die, your brain, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Your flesh, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Your spirit is what goes. Now, there is a general thought that your spirit looks like you. Now, I read this and I thought this was interesting. Have no way to prove it, but I like the thought process. Jesus lived till he was how long? 33. They say that your spirit is your spitting image of you in good health at 33. Just an interesting thought. Is it true? I have no idea. But it's an interesting thought. If it's not interesting to you, it is to me. So let's go to, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 10. And so what if I'm wrong about this? Who cares? Let's take a poll right now. Who believes what I'm saying and who doesn't? Just kidding. Some of it. So I'm going to tell you, when I studied for this, I mean, my brain went tilt. many, many times. And I could be wrong, people. That's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine for a pastor to be wrong. And I will tell you, when I preach things and I say it's my personal thought process, I like to bring it out to say, this is not scripture. You don't have to believe this. And if your thoughts on this are different than mine, that's awesome. And I would love to get around a campfire one day and just throw it out there. Just throw all our crazy ideas and thoughts out there and just see what stacks up and what's left standing at the end of the night. But Luke chapter 10. And then also, if you go into the gap theory, you have to also go back to Jeremiah, which says a wheel within a wheel. And he states about civilizations before Adam. There's also a sect of Jewish belief that believes that we are the seventh creation of God as of beings, not of seventh creation as in star, sun, moon, all that stuff. It's actually, they believe that we are the seventh creation of God as beings. Believe that angels were the sixth. Now, is that true? I have no idea, but it makes me think a lot. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Like I've said, if we go to heaven and we find out demons are fallen angels, what does that change anything we've done here? Nothing. But if we go to heaven and we find out that there was a being on this earth before we were, what does that change? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. All right, so Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. And 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Whose name? Jesus' name. The name of Jesus. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fall from heaven. I missed a great part there. Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Do you know what? Lightning, you can see lightning. You can be a long way from lightning and you can still see it. When God kicked Satan out of heaven after the fall, when he kicked him out, it was a display. And I believe it was quite noisy. And there's even a scripture that says, with the finger of God, I cast out Satan. With the finger. And, I state this all the time. You have a couple fingers to choose from. Do you believe you know which one? I believe it was the pinky because it's the weakest finger among us. I believe with the very weakest part of God, the devil and 1/3 of the angels were all cast out of heaven. And they hit the earth. The gap theory would state that God created the earth. Satan was in the earth and all the great things were his. And when he hit the earth from heaven, it created such a cloud of dust. It, what science would say was a meteor. Most Christians would say it was Satan himself that hit this earth with the angels that destroyed everything, destroyed it all. And so, that's food for thought. You don't have to agree with it, but that's awesome. Let's keep going. Where did I leave off? Verse 18. And he said unto them, I behold Satan fall as lightning fall from heaven. 19. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents, upon scorpions. Serpents size-wise, are they bigger or smaller than scorpions?
Bigger.
Very good. Very good. Not trick questions here. Most people are like, I don't know. Is he setting me up for something? No. So what the Lord is saying is, the big things, you tread upon them. Yeah. And the tiny things, those little scorpions. In Florida, we got a scorpion that's so tiny. So tiny. And then sometimes when it gets cold outside, they'll try to find a way in. And if your house is not sealed very well, they can get in. I used to live in a house that wasn't sealed very well. They got in. And one time, I'm not kidding, I was in the kitchen. Thank the Lord. It was not my normal routine. But I grabbed my shoe to put on my foot sitting at the kitchen. And when I did, a scorpion fell out of it. You want to know how many times I checked my shoes from then on out? Woo, a whole lot. And so he's saying you can tread upon big things and you can tread upon small things. And over all the power of the enemy. How much power of the enemy? All of it. Every power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. Now this nothing by any means. It didn't say demonic forces shall not hurt you. It said nothing by any means shall hurt you. So that lets me know demonic forces can't come against me. And other forces that are just natural in this earth. The devil is not behind everything that happens. He's the reason we have bad things happen. Because when the fall happened, our earth entered into trouble. And actually states that the earth is like a pregnant woman. And the closer they come to the baby coming to birth, the second coming of Jesus Christ, you know what the earth feels? There's a whole lot of shaking going on. This earth is going to feel more of it. And the Bible says in the end times there shall be earthquakes in diver places. That tells me earthquakes in places that they don't happen. Isn't that interesting that Illinois and southern Wisconsin, Oklahoma, parts of Texas, in Illinois, that never really have records of earthquakes at all. All of a sudden, the earth is trembling. Isn't that quite interesting? Bible is being fulfilled every day. And so, Luke 4 and verse 35. How do we tread? I'm ending, hopefully. I'm about to smack right into the wall. No gearing down. Just speed up with me. Luke 4:35. And Jesus rebuked him. This is talking about the guy that was possessed with a legion. Question. Who did he rebuke? He rebuked the demonic forces that were in him, not the person. And he said, hold thy peace. You know, it's interesting. You'll watch some people who claim, you know, to cast out devils in people, and they want to know their name. They want to talk to them. And they want to go back to their history. How many of them are you in there? They want to know all these things. Jesus rebuked the demon, said, hold thy peace, come out of him. And when the devil had come out of him, in the midst of them, he cast them out and hurt him not. Now, this word rebuke is the Greek word. Now, it comes from it's a Greek word, and it comes from two words. It's epic, where we get the word epic is epi. And then it comes from to mail. And so these are two words put together. And the word epic is where we get the word epic from. Or we get the word epic from this word, which means huge. It also means above. So when something is epic, it's above normal. It's bigger than normal. It is the epic of everything, right? And so we get this word meaning above. And then the other word, it means to honor mainly with speech. So what we have here, when you put this word epic and this word that means to honor with speech, or mainly, it means mainly with speech. You can do it in other ways, but with speech. When it's used in this terms, it means to be over, above it, but speak to it. It involves speech here. You can't have rebuking without speech. And when we're talking about epic, it is above it. When Jesus rebuked the devil, he didn't get face to face and we're both on the same level and we're going to duke it out. Jesus was standing above the evil. Jesus had power and authority and looked down upon evil. They weren't even on the same playing field. Jesus said, with my eyes, I saw God cast out Satan as lightning. I saw him hit the earth. I saw him stripped of all power. And when I speak to a demonic force, I speak to everything that is below me. Amen. Have you ever had somebody speak to you that felt they were above you and didn't have that position? Yeah. Now, have you ever spoke to someone in management position that was under you and they didn't like how you spoke to them, but you had authority over them? I'm going to tell you something. When you deal with evil, you're not dealing with it on the same level. You're not dealing with it below. You are speaking down to evil. Evil is not on the same playing field as you. Doesn't have the power that you have. Is evil powerful? You bet your bottom it is. You know, there was an old show I used to love when I grew up, Mel's Diner. Anybody ever watch that? I loved the waitress who said, Mel, kiss my grits. All right. That would have had huge laughter in the South. Sorry. All right, so in all of this, it's speaking to somebody with authority and understanding your position over them. And so when you rebuke Satan, you can't rebuke him not knowing your position.
That's right.
This was tried in the Bible. Sceva, the seven sons of Sceva, is that right? If I'm saying that properly, who wanted to cast out a devil like Paul did. So they took him in a room. They took him back to a back room, which most people believe was a bedroom, and they tried to cast it out. But before they could even make it to the front door, the Bible says the demon jumped on them, bruised them, and ripped their clothes off them. So what do you have? You got seven sons running out that don't know their position with Jesus, don't have a position with Jesus, but they want to mimic the power of God and have no authority backing them up. And what it did to them was jump on them, make a fool of them, and they ran out and everybody saw their nakedness away from the Lord.
That's right.
So you have to know your position. You have to know your authority. Now, I want to go to one last scripture. Jump down to verse 39. Quickly. But Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, the church can be as many as we have here. It could be one person. If only one person would give their life to Jesus, he still would have come back. He still would have died for them, and they would have been the church.
That's right.
And he would have given all this authority just to one person. But he did it for us, thank God. And thank God that our eyes of our understanding have been enlightened.
Yes.
Verse 39, and he stood over her, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now, this is sickness. This does not state that it was demonic in any way, shape, or form. But where do we go back to? Deuteronomy 28. All sickness and disease is under the curse of the fall. Jesus has redeemed us from the fall. The curse. The fall. The curse that came to us because of the fall. Because Jesus was hung upon a tree. Jesus spoke to the things that were beneath him. Whether it was demonic, whether it was sickness. And I'm going to tell you something. In your life, you could speak to the things that are underneath you. That God has given you power and authority over. You speak to those things. And you don't come at it with the power of, it may happen. I don't know. I don't know if they can defeat me. I feel like I'm going down. Let me tell you something. If you feel like you're being defeated, it's just that God's not done yet. The Tower of Babel, it was being built. You think that the people thought they had won over God? Yeah, and it went up for a long way. And I bet that if there were people that still had a relationship with the Lord, and they're saying, Lord, what's going to happen here? Feels like people are going to win, and God's plan is going to be diminished. But God still moved. The Tower of Babel came down. The walls of Jericho fell. And it happened 7 days. Am I promising you stuff is going to happen in 7 days? No, I guarantee you the tower took a lot longer. Years and years and years to get that tower that high. And God caused it to collapse. Whether you're dealing with the Tower of Babel or whether you're dealing with the walls of Jericho, my promise is to you, you stand in the place that God has called you to. You continue to be faithful and it will crumble before your feet. You don't walk out of this place afraid of demonic forces. You rule and reign above them. And the curse of the law, you don't walk out of here afraid of the curse. Lord, we live in a world that has fallen and there are earthquakes in diverse places. But you know what? There are children of God in diverse places. And there are some places that will be saved simply because you are there.
Yes.
They will experience the overflow just like King Saul did. He experienced the overflow because people of God were there. This world, you want to know how they're going to be saved? Is because we are among them.
Amen.
Sometimes I feel like Superman walking amongst normal people. I feel that way. They don't even know that I'm here. They don't even know that great power resides in me. They look at me. They count me off. They mark me out. They don't even believe I can do anything. They hear this accent. They subtract 150 IQ points immediately. Why'd y'all laugh so much? And they don't even know the power that stands in this. If a terrorist shows up, they don't even know how blessed they are. If this happens, they don't even know how blessed they are. If sickness tries to come in, they don't even know how blessed they are. Because the power that lives in you is greater than the power that be with them. And they can't even comprehend the power that's with you. They've never even got to step into the power that's within. They've never seen it demonstrated. They've heard about it. They count it all craziness. Superman doesn't even exist. And you're here like, I have God's anointing on the inside of me. I am powerful. You know, if you don't believe, you know, if you've had a bad self-image, you need to get in front of the mirror and just talk to yourself what God says about you. And sometimes, you know, when people start off, I had somebody tell me they did that because I suggested it, and they said they couldn't even look at themselves. Sister, you're powerful. Because they didn't even believe it. But they said they kept quoting scripture. They kept renewing their mind. And they said, now today I'm starting to, they said, I'm not fully there, but Pastor, I'm starting to understand the power of God that is on the inside of me. Let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. That you are good and your mercy endures.